This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Hello again, everybody. This is Martin Spriggs with the Wells Tech Podcast. This is Tuesday, March 3rd, 2015, episode 382, show where we get together once a week, talk about technology, but not just any technology, technology that is useful for ministry. And my pal Sally Draper comes along for the ride each and every week. Hey, Sally. Martin Luther right across the shirt there. Nice.
That's right. We're on spring break here at Martin Luther College, so it's a little bit more casual atmosphere around that, the office. So taking advantage of that, enjoying a blizzard here today in Minnesota. And Martin, I have a question for you to start the show off today.
All right,
just wondered,
I'm ready.
382 times we've done this, you know, prepared, done our homework, turned on the button and pressed record and all that kind of stuff. Do you still get nervous about it? Do you ever get nervous about it? Maybe a little rush?
I love this. I really
do.
Okay. This is probably the thing in me that is I have to work on, and that's I love talking to people. You know, I love being in front of people, and this, even though it's just you and me, kind of, here's an opportunity to share some knowledge. So I actually look forward to this each and every week. One of the reasons that I really like this show, Sally, is that you actually do most of the work. I get to show up on Tuesday afternoon. It's not even a little known fact, but that's the fact. So you make it easy.
That's very kind to say, but you know, I love it too once you hit the button. But leading up to it, I usually kind of block out from 3 o'clock on, so I have an hour beforehand to get my act together. You know, we've done our planning, but there's always last minute tweaking and looking up a few more websites and things. That's definitely a little butterfly time for me. Even after 382 of them, I get a little bit nervous.
That's probably a good thing. But really, almost throughout the entire week, it's kind of in the back of your mind. I don't know if you're like me, but it's kind of in the back of your mind as you're looking at blog posts and you're kind of thinking through different opportunities for ministry and seeing technologies. It kind of all applies. That's what I think makes the show kind of cool, where it's not just some abstract concept we talk about. It's stuff that we live and breathe each and every day. So, and I'm sure you get opportunities to talk about this even on campus there with different folks.
Absolutely, and it's just always a blessing for sure. You know, it's a blessing for us to be able to share it with other people. It's a blessing for me personally to grow and learn more and dig a little deeper and be able to put together something worthy of sharing. So
yeah. We're gonna play an interview here in a minute, and the ladies that we're gonna talk to will prove this point out. But technology becomes such a part of our lives, whether it be a ministry-related topic or not, in the lives of these ladies, it's in parenting. But technology is pretty easy to kind of talk about because it's a big part of a lot of the things that we do. So I think that makes the show easy to prepare for and easy to talk about. So, and we make a lot of friends in the process. So we made two more friends this week in talking to our heart-to-heart ladies, our heart-to-heart blog ladies, and you know, each and every week we make new friends. So that's kind of cool.
Definitely. And today's topic, Martin, fits right in with exactly what you were saying. Blogging has become a really accepted platform for sharing your ideas online, and so much so that it's almost ubiquitous, almost part of what people's expectations are. If you want to create a website, a blog's a super easy way to do that. And for ministry purposes and sharing good news, there's lots of reasons to have websites. So our focus today is on blogging. We're going to talk to those heart-to-heart bloggers a little later on. But in the meantime, we're going to just give people ideas about how they might use blogging and how they might get started with it if they aren't familiar with those tools.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've talked about blogging, but basically the way I kind of define blogging for people is simply another channel to share your thoughts in written form. There are a lot of ways of doing that. Blogging just is so easy, and you can really write about anything. And I think there's a little writer in everybody, you know, whether you think so or not, you have something to say. And the blogging platforms that we have today give everybody a voice, because you can immediately get it out there. And if there are like-minded people or people interested in what you have to say, it's easy to find that stuff and actually have a conversation about a topic. It's not just one way. I think really part of blogging is creating dialogue and creating conversation, you know, similar to this show. So there's lots of different reasons to blog, but I think one of the keys to blogging is having some kind of theme or approach or, you know, different reason to do it. And in the life of a church or a pastor or a call worker, it could be devotional, writing something that includes and shares or has thoughts on God's Word. So that would be one kind of theme or content idea for a blog.
And certainly you could also just share information. You know, one idea I had was your classroom teacher maybe just regularly sends a note home once a week with the students, and you could use a blog to do that same kind of thing. Maybe you have a mom's group in your congregation, and they need to share information, where their meetings are, or what their topics are going to be, or who's up for snacks this week, or whatever it is. And, you know, being able to share information is a perfect use for a blog.
Yep. Other things could be just blogging about things that you love. Could be a hobby, some kind of affinity, something that you like thinking about, you like talking about, you like interacting with other people about, and you know, share imagery, those kinds of things. One thing about a blog, a lot of people think, well, it's like a journal, and it can be. And it actually should be conversational. It shouldn't be real stiff and, you know, like a website. It is more of a conversation, and it is more could be more first person, I guess I would suggest. But with the blogging software of today, yeah, it can be chronological. But with tagging and different tools that you have in things like WordPress, it can be almost anything you want it to be. So you can have groupings or collections of content or lines of thinking or lines of blog posts around a particular topic, then you can start talking about something else. And it can be your own little personal website, or it can be, you know, whatever you want it to be.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about a site that I'm familiar with, Christ the King in Palm Coast, Florida.
Right.
That's Pastor Phil Huebner. He uses a blog for posting his sermons online. But that concept of tagging comes in, that maybe he tags them with the books of the Bible that the reading was from, that the sermon's based on, or tags them for different times during the church year, or whatever it may be. And so, yes, you can get this Sunday sermon, you know, a chronological view. But over time, as you build up your blog, you can find, you know, a group of sermons with the Lenten theme or whatever it may be. So I think tagging has got a lot of power when it comes to the organization and the archiving of all that great content. We certainly make use of it on the WellsTech blog. We tag lots of things.
Every show is a blog post for us as well. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a contained piece of content. So there's lots of different you know, purposes for a blog. As we mentioned, you mentioned it could be a collection of sermons, and most of us do some writing, so we have some kind of pre-built content anyway that we could plug into a blog. It could be newsy, organizational news kind of stuff. It could be classroom or school news, as you suggest. It could be just Bible class extensions. So as you kind of hold a Sunday morning Bible class or a Wednesday evening Bible class, whatever it is, to post some content. Maybe it's pre-work or extra stuff that didn't get into the corpus of the Bible study itself, then you can kind of extend the conversation and invite people to read it and comment on it.
Definitely. You know, I think asking engaging questions in your blog posts, you know, can get the conversation going. And you can also take those blog posts, use that as kind of a hub, and distribute it via your social channels as well. So every time you post, it could also post on your congregation's Facebook page or include a tweet on your Twitter account or your Google Plus account or whatever it may be, so that you're using the blog as your location, but it gets delivered in a lot of different ways.
Yep. So a lot of people ask, well, how do I get started? And, you know, beyond just the technology, obviously you want to pick the reason that you would and how you would go about it. But there are, you know, things to consider, like, you know, is it going to be formal or informal? Is it going to, am I going to ask questions or answer questions or both? What's the reader level going to be? What's the design going to look like? Am I going to use images? How am I going to do that? What's the frequency? That's a big question, because one of the things that you really want to consider as you jump into maybe starting a blog is, can I keep up with it? Can I keep up with the commitment that maybe needs to be made to develop an audience? And that's really why you would start a blog. If there's nobody reading it, you don't really need a blog. So it may sound a little bit self-serving at first, but ultimately you want to gain a readership, or kind of a community, maybe is a better word. Of people who like to read your stuff and maybe would contribute to it. And you can have community-type blogs, too, where it's not just you writing, but it's a number of people writing. For instance, our Synod's mission blog, which we're just relaunching here this week, is a collection of missionaries or missionary wives writing blog posts. So it's not just one person, it's many people. So that gives a little bit different dimension as well.
Definitely. And, you know, it can serve a lot of different purposes. You certainly could use your blog for an outreach tool to share the gospel message with unchurched around you in your community or in the world, wherever it may be. You can use it for in-reach purposes to strengthen your own members in some particular way, or just to relate to people and have, you know, a conversation starter that could lead to additional inquiries about your congregation or, yep, or school or whatever it may be.
Yep. What's the ministry? I mean, if there is a ministry purpose, what is it? So clearly define that going in. So we've talked a lot about maybe why, and some of the hows is next. What technologies are in place that would enable somebody to blog? And one of the big boys on the block, yet maybe the most popular for a reason, that's WordPress. And there are a couple of flavors of WordPress. There's WordPress.org and WordPress.com. One allows you to do the hosting online. One allows you to install the application, the WordPress application, on maybe your own server, which I don't know how you do it, Sally, but I have my own DreamHost account, and I maintain my own WordPress blogging software because I wanted to play with some of the themes and some of the modules that you don't always get an opportunity to do with the hosted version.
Right. So WordPress.com is that hosted version, as you mentioned, and WordPress.org is where you would download the right WordPress software and then upload it to your own server. And I actually have both those sites up. Whoops. Maybe I only have SiteGround is where I do hosting, and I think I do have DreamHost up as well.
There it
DreamHost
is, yeah.
Has a deal for nonprofits. I think I have a page
it's
where
like
you can
free,
read more
it?
About. Yeah, they
that's
offer
a deal.
Free hosting to nonprofit charitable organizations registered in the U.S. So we'll put a link in the show notes if you're interested in some free hosting for your blog. You can go to DreamHost and go through their process of submitting your validation information. For my personal blog, I use SiteGround, and I've had great results with them, 100% uptime and all that kind of stuff, and fairly easy to use. I'm not sure if DreamHost has this. I would guess they do, but with SiteGround, you can use something where it'll install the software for you. So you just
right.
kind of do a one button push, and you have a blog set up for you, and then you have to continue to do updates on the blog as they release new versions and stuff.
That's the thing. If you do host your own, you have to stay up to date because there are vulnerabilities that come along quite regularly, and if you're kind of not paying attention, you could get hacked, and this has happened to a number of people that I know that don't kind of pay attention to the latest updates. Some of the providers, I don't know if SiteGround does this, but I know DreamHost does it. You can tell it to automatically update. Mm-hmm. So if there's a new update out there, it just does it for you, and or at least send you a message that one's up, and you just click a button. So that's probably a good idea if you want to do the host your own thing.
Right. They've gotten pretty aggressive with those updates, and they'll actually push them on you if you don't go do it yourself.
Right. Because they have a vested interest, especially if you are in a shared hosting environment. They don't want the bad guys getting onto their server at all. So
right. Just a couple of other mentions for the teacher side of things. There's two sites, eduBlog.org and also kitblog.org, which both actually use WordPress as their blogging platform, but they manage a lot of the security and confidentiality of the site to allow you to do some of that blogging with your students and things. If you want to keep it completely private, I know on KidBlog, I've played with it, you can get a passcode for your parents and things like that so they can get access but no one else can see the blogs and things like that. So both of those are worth checking out if you're a teacher looking to do some blogging with your students. And Martin, you know, that reminds me, quick plug for the Wells Tech Conference. Our friend Rachel Pearson is going to be at the Wells Tech Conference this summer speaking on that very topic, student blogging. So mm-hmm. If you're interested, that's a good place to be this summer, to be in her sectional.
Yep. And there are other ways to learn WordPress. WordPress is not, I wouldn't say, super difficult, but there can be a lot of complexities and a lot of ins and outs, and you can kind of make it hum if you know a little bit more about it. And there are lots of resources online, lots of step-by-step videos, and I think one of our videos of the week will highlight that, but we'll have in the show notes a couple of things. Is it learnwordpress.com?
Learn.wordpress.com. Yeah. Yep.
That's one of them.
We'll definitely have that site. Another thing that you'll want to do is come up with a theme or a design for your site. So there's the learn.wordpress.com website on my screen now that I'm sharing. But we also have a great article to share from Church Mag where they talk about purchasing a premium WordPress theme, getting something that actually has some clout behind it, some traction behind it. So there's about a bajillion themes that you can pick out there in WordPress land.
Some are free, some are not, but mm-hmm. none of them are super duper expensive. If you really like one, you're not going to pay $1,000 for a theme usually. So
right. But what you want to pay attention to is how recently have they been updating it?
Right.
How many times has it been downloaded? You know, do they have a lot of support available on their site? What kind of questions do people ask? Do they have good reviews? Those kind of things. And this article actually walks you through some of that because it's really easy to just pick a blog theme and, you know, fall in love with it, and then it breaks as soon as WordPress gets updated and you're kind of stuck with a broken blog. And so, you know, choose wisely, I guess, is the moral there.
You betcha. You wouldn't know it by us, but there are other blogging platforms other than WordPress. One that has become more and more popular because it's visually rich, very mobile friendly, but not free, is something called Squarespace. Squarespace is, you know, basically, I think they started out as a pure blogging platform. But they have a full website experience with kind of a blogging engine. Very drag and drop, WYSIWYG capable, and I think a good choice if you're looking for something to just pick a theme and go. I think you'll probably get up and running very quickly with it, and you can, you know, it's a pretty powerful platform. So Squarespace.com is one. I think the starting price is like $8 or so a month, something like that. So there's no free version, although there's probably a trial. But in the end, you'll have to pay something per month. So if you're not into WordPress, that might be another choice. And then the other one is Blogger, which has been around a long time. Is that still a Google product?
It is. It didn't start out as a Google product, but Google bought Blogger, and now it comes along for the ride free with your Google account. And so, you know, if you're maybe a Google Apps school or church, you know, it might be easy to use the Blogger platform for blogging as well. And they are very parallel to WordPress. They have a lot of themes to choose from, different layouts and designs that you can make use of on your blog. So that's over at blogger.com.
Sally, you and I make this sound real easy, but you and I both know blogging is not easy. I think a couple years ago we tried to make a commitment where we were blogging. What did we make the commitment to do? I don't even remember.
Once a week?
Once a week, okay. And that was hard, too.
It was. Once a month is hard for me. I don't know about you, but I have not paid attention to my blog like I'd like to, and I think it does take, you know, a strong commitment and blocking out the time, just like we do and like we talked about for our WordPress blog. And maybe I'll stop sharing my screen for a while. Our Wells Tech blog that we have been committed and done this 382 weeks in a row, but it takes work. And, you know, maybe that's why we don't do our personal blogs as much, because we put our time into the Wells Tech effort. But, you know, you do have to keep it fresh if you really want to develop that readership.
Yeah. I feel better now about the fact that I'm not blogging as much as I should, because we have, you know, you reminded me that we do this Wells Tech thing, although you do the whole blog, so I really can't use that as my as my feel-good approach. But
it's a team effort. I don't do any of that audio video stuff, and that can really be.
Actually, I have been blogging once a week basically for the last 3-4 months, because I've I'm pulling out old content, which is perfectly acceptable as well. You mentioned sermons. I have a series of stewardship devotions I've been posting each week, and that's another way to kind of find content that still has value. And this original content that I'm posting never was online. It was always kind of printed out and used in a congregational context, but here is another forum for it. So that's another source for content. But you do need to make a commitment. You do need some frequency. You need to be honest with yourself about that. You also needs to kind of be part of a routine. We learned a little bit about that when we're talking about our book review, What's Best Next, the importance of a routine, just kind of building that into your daily or weekly workflow, where you don't have to just kind of put it on a task list, and if you get to it, you get to it. It kind of has to be part of your Wednesday morning routine or your whatever, something that just becomes second nature to you. So that's something. And then set a schedule, almost like a website where you build a content schedule where you kind of identify, do a little bit of planning, maybe do a quarterly, saying, oh, we're going to do this series or we're going to do that series, get it on a calendar, have people hold you accountable, etc. I think that'll all help.
Yep. Easier said than done.
It is.
That's all I can say. It's a challenge.
Yep.
It's a challenge. But
there are a number of blogs out there that we like that do a great job of that. They kind of stay on it and keep feeding us great content. One of those, we've talked to Mark Parsons before, and Bread for Beggars. Is it breadforbeggars.com?
It is.
.com. I didn't know if it was .org or .com. Mm-hmm. But they have a case in point where it's not just one writer. They've enlisted a number of people and have a number of different dimensions to it, and continually to pump good content into it. Very visually rich, too. I like what they do with their images.
Yeah, definitely. Inviting site. I also mentioned earlier Christ the King down in Palm Coast, Florida, and Pastor Phil Huebner. This is a quick look at his blog, and again, all the different categories and different things that he uses to organize his blog. I think that's a good example of consistently posting sermons and over time, you know, seeing that build up. I also found the Truth and Love Ministry blogs. We, many years ago now, Martin interviewed Pastor Mark Cares, who's out there in Idaho, I believe, doing this outreach specifically targeted to the Mormons, and they've got a whole effort behind that, and one of the pieces of that is their blogging, and it's a huge piece for them. They attract a lot of Mormons who are dissatisfied and questioning a little bit about what they're being taught and how they're being led in the Mormon faith. And their blog posts are specifically targeted to some of those kind of hot issues with Mormons. And they get a lot of conversations going that way. So a great example of a conversational blog with the Truth and Love Ministry blogs.
Yep. And if all else fails, we've got a great article for you from Church Mag, which is churchm.ag, I think is the website address.
That's
kind
correct.
Of a weird
yep.
one. Great blog post, The Five Types of Blog Posts That Always Work, kind of a heady claim, but it is a good, I think, starter for somebody thinking about, well, what do I write about and what would generate an audience, and they give some great examples there.
Yeah, and one of them is a list, the 7 reasons why your
yep,
blog is
lists left. Are and, really popular.
And that was exactly how they titled this post, obviously, so they pointed out right away, this is irony and it's right in your face or whatever. But they have how-tos listed, promises that solve a problem or a felt need, sparked recognition, like, do you make these 4 mistakes in blogging? You know, something people can relate to. And then posts that appeal to strong emotions or pique curiosity in a big way. The post that got me 2,000 likes. So people probably want to click and find out what that is. So they kind of play devil's advocates here and say, you know, should you always use these or use these at all? And what kind of challenges might come up? And, you know, just again emphasizing that it's about a relationship. And then they have a 30 days of blogging for churches, I think, course coming up that they make mention of as well. So a good place to start, some food for thought if you're considering jumping into the blogging waters.
Great. Speaking of blogging, there is a brand new blog started by our friends at Northwestern Publishing House called Heart to Heart. It's a parenting blog. Great topic. There's an example of picking a topic, trying to start a conversation, and we were fortunate enough to get 2 of the bloggers to come on our show, Wendy Hine and Ann Jans, to join us and talk a little bit about their experiences. And Sally, I didn't get the sense that either one of them had really blogged before, so this is a new experience for them, right?
Yeah, just like we described, you know, you got to start somewhere, and they're part of that you know, a panel of bloggers. It's not up to any one individual to keep this blog going, but they've gathered a great group of people to share their insights on parenting. And I think, a perfect topic and one that they hope to build collaboration, relationships.
And learn themselves, too.
Right, yeah. Because no one's perfect at it. And I think that's the first thing that they'd want to admit here is that there's no right or wrong. We're not looking to call you out on doing something wrong, but to learn from each other and grow.
Yep. So let's listen to that interview.
We're ready for a heart-to-heart conversation today on Wealth Tech. Excited to have 2 bloggers from the Heart-to-Heart NPH blog joining us. We have Wendy Hine and Ann Jans. Maybe we'll just take a moment and say hi to both of you and learn a little bit about each of you. So we could start with Wendy, if you'll tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm the mom of 3 kids. I have a 9-year-old daughter and a 3-year-old daughter, and then I have a 7-year-old son, and my 7-year-old has multiple disabilities. So.
Well, you're a busy lady, I bet.
And I stay home with my kids right now.
Awesome. Very good. And you're there in the Milwaukee area?
I am.
Awesome. Okay, well, thank you. Ann, how about you?
So, sure. My name is Ann Jans. I'm from Richfield, Wisconsin, and I also, like Wendy, have 3 kids. Mine are a little bit older, though. I have 3 boys. One is just about to turn 17, and then I have an 18-year-old, and I have another son who's 20. So they keep me busy, but probably in a different way than Wendy's kids do right now.
I have 3 boys almost the same age, so we got a lot in common there.
All right.
And I don't have 3 boys the same age, but I have a lot of interest in the topic, which is kind of raising a family in a digital age. And I think there's a lot of conversations that can happen these days that because the world is changing so quickly. And I think that's one of the things that I like about the Heart to Heart blog. It's really just parents talking. And I think that's one of the goals, is to have interesting conversations and then engage other parents in the conversations. What's been the experience so far? You both have done a blog on the Heart to Heart blog. What's been your experience so far with both the writing of it and then kind of the subsequent conversations around those blog posts?
You know, I have to admit, when they first asked me to write, I was a little surprised. Sometimes you think if someone asks you to write about parenting that you need to be a parenting expert, but that must not be the case, because I'm definitely not a parenting expert. So I was very humbled and privileged to be asked to write, and it was an interesting experience, and I don't know if Wendy found the same thing, but I almost struggled, despite what I thought, putting my thoughts into a limited amount of space. I probably could have written a whole lot more, but I think what was hard is there's so much to write about and so many feelings that parenting evokes. So just keeping your blog to maybe 500 words or so was very challenging, but it really helps you to examine kind of how you feel as a parent, where you're at in your parenting walk, and it was a neat thing to be able to do. And I think what's nice is about the parenting blog is that we are really starting a conversation, and I think we're getting across to parents that it's okay if your kids aren't perfect, and none of our kids are perfect, and it's okay if you don't quite know always what you're doing and how to do everything. I think we need to build each other up as parents and show each other that it's okay. It's okay if something's not going quite right in your life and with your kids and your parenting journey, but we need to be there for each other. And so I think it really has started an open conversation where parents can talk about some of these issues in a supportive and caring and Christian way.
How did you figure out what to write about? What was your first topic, and what caused you to think about writing about that?
Well, I think the topic that they asked us to write about, technology and how to parent in the digital age, was something they asked us to write about. And Nicole Balza, who works for Ford in Christ, always asks if that's a topic that resonates with us before we write about it. And it definitely did, because technology is something that we really can struggle with as a family. And just as this world is changing so quickly, and technology can be so good, and there are also so many pitfalls that can come with technology. So that's how we were asked to do it, and it really did strike a chord with me.
Okay. Wendy, how about you? What's been your experience so far?
So the first topic that I wrote about was the March one coming up, the one about keeping Christ as the center of your home. And for me, that was a topic that, of course, is on my mind a lot as a mom with little kids in the house. And having a child who's nonverbal, who doesn't talk, that's even kind of a different topic in our home too. So it's for sure it's something that I felt like I was excited to write about. The next topic that she asked me to write about, though, was one that I felt a little bit inadequate about. And so I did decide to go ahead and write about it. And it definitely, it's something that makes you think, and it really, it was a good chance for me to talk with other friends, ladies in my Bible study, about and really explore the topic. So my next topic is going to be about over-parenting and if we over-parent as parents. So it's do we, that kind of that sense of helicopter parenting, and how we, our society kind of lives in fear and is always wanting us to be every minute with our children. And it's the topic is going to be talking about if we overparent. And I felt really like that's a struggle for me, balancing if I'm parenting enough, over-parenting, am I, and also how other people perceive that. So that was a topic that I hesitated to take it, because I thought, ooh, I might not be the right person to be writing about this. But I when I have shared that with my Bible study ladies. They said, well, I think that probably that means that you're the perfect person to write about it, because every parent probably feels that way. So
definitely, yeah, can strengthen those bonds when you just have someone in the same boat as you and that, you know, faces those same struggles. I kind of smiled when you said you feel unprepared, because I think I've been doing this podcast for 7+ years, and it's a learning experience. You have to just look at it as an opportunity, not that you're going to be the expert all the way around, but that you can grow in the process. So that kudos to both of you for taking it on. And I loved that your first article was about texting with your sons and using technology in the family. And my boys are right at that same age where technology is a big part of their lives. And I'm just wondering if that can be used in a positive. Is there room for technology to assist with parenting?
Yeah, I really do. And but it kind of what you alluded to. I think it needs to be used in the right way and to be used very carefully, because technology permeates everything we do now. The advent of social media has totally changed the way people communicate, and it's changing so fast. So anything we put out there in technology these days is kind of out there for the world to see, and that can it can be a good thing, it can be a very dangerous thing. So I think with our parenting and with our kids, we're just very cautious of how we use the technology. And But we do find that our kids sometimes communicate better via the technology, and I think it's because of the way they were raised in the world in which they were raised. It's almost like they're born now knowing how to use this technology, where it's not something that we grew up with. Mm-hmm. But I think we do have to be so careful, and we caution our kids to be so careful too, that what they put out there, that is it God pleasing? Does it build other people up instead of tearing them down? But, you know, we really do find that something as simple as texting or email or, you know, chatting with each other on Facebook is a really nice way to communicate with our kids, because that's where they're comfortable. They're comfortable with the webcams, and they're comfortable with their technology. And I think sometimes it's nice just to touch base with them quickly. I'm thinking about you, you know, I'm praying for you. It's a nice way to be able to do it, and they respond very well to that technology.
Excellent. And Wendy, as a mom of younger children, I'm just wondering if technology is appropriate, if there's Christ-centered parenting that involves technology as well. Any uses of technology on your home front?
Well, I think for us, we're a lot of times trying to limit the mm-hmm. the availability of technology, but it's part of everything that our kids do, so it's it's just there all the time. So again, very similar to what Anne said, but trying to already now, as they're little, instill in them that we want all the things that we do to be God-pleasing, all the things that we expose ourselves to, and we want our use of time to be God-pleasing. We want to be choosing to engage with the people around us, to really be with them, with our family, not to be checked out on a device. And that's already at this age something that my 3-year-old can't answer you when she's playing certain games. She just can't function. And we have sort of a double standard in our house for technology, because my son can't calm without his iPad, and he has a communication device that uses eye gaze to communicate. So, mm-hmm. like how your hand would use an iPad, he uses his eyes to talk. So he has unlimited access to communication or to technology, and my girls are always on, you know, a kind of a short string with it, mm-hmm. and so. So we're always kind of trying to use this kind of double standard in our house, and that can be tricky. But I think for sure the couple things that we do are we really try to think about always using them in God-pleasing ways. And then also there are some really awesome apps with devotions, There are some really awesome apps with interactive Bible stories where they tell you the Bible story. And we've not explored those as much as I would like to, but it's something that has really been on my mind because I think if we meet kids where they're at, which is technology, we really get further with them sometimes.
Nice. One thing I'm excited about is coming up on Tuesday, March 10th at 8 o'clock Central. You both are coming into the building, and we're going to do an interview, a webcast, to talk a little bit more about this blog and parenting. What are your expectations? What can we expect when we get together and do that webcast? Do you have any sense for what that's going to be like?
I'm excited to get together with some of the other bloggers, and to the topics have been so, I feel like it's been interesting every month to see that we're all kind of given the same topic, and then when they come out in the blog or in the Forward in Christ there, we each have such different takes on it. I think it'll be exciting to hear the conversation that happens in person. I'm really excited to hear the takes of the other bloggers, to hear where they're coming from, to get to know them a little bit.
I agree, Wendy. I think that's really neat, and I think you really summed it up well. I think, you know, you're kind of in an age where you have younger children, and one of the other people that's coming in, he has kids kind of in the middle school age, and then my kids are a little bit older, so I think you're right. I think we're all kind of in different places in our parenting, and so our perspective can really be different on some of the things we'll be talking about, but I think it'll be neat to kind of start some of those conversations and just get all of our different takes on and maybe the same topic, because you're right, it is amazing to me. I like it how they give us one topic and how everybody addresses it is so incredibly different just based on their experiences and their backgrounds and what's going on in their home. I love that. I think it's really exciting.
This seems to be just kind of another dimension or another flavor of the entire focus or purpose of the blog, is to begin a conversation, and this just happens to be kind of in real time where we're going to live stream it, invite comments, and do an interview. But that's really, I think, the goal, right, of the blog, is to start a conversation. You both admit that you're not experts, but you're willing to engage in the conversation and kind of figure it out together, right?
That's what I really feel like the blog has, because it always gives a few perspectives, it really eliminates that idea of the expert parent telling everyone else how to do it. And it really, I think the real crux to parenting is that even within our own homes, the same things don't work for every kid, even within the same family. And so I think it's this idea that there are lots of perspectives about godly parenting, and lots of ways to go at it, and it's just so exciting and really beneficial to hear the perspectives of parents who are at different places in their age of their children, who have different situations, who have just totally different experiences, totally different kids. So it's really exciting.
I agree, and I think it's what's really nice too is that I think sometimes we feel like because we're Christian parents, we should kind of have it all together, and you know, we should know everything, and our kids should be perfect and they should be good. So I think it's very refreshing to me just to see the parenting blog and to realize that we're not in this alone, that we all struggle, you know, because of sin in this world and because of things that happen in our lives, and that's okay. So I think it's really neat that is another way that we can show other parents that, you know what, we're all in this together. We're here to build each other up. And so I think it's nice that we really have started that conversation.
Yeah, kudos to NPH for having the vision to make this a conversation online and, you know, to have the articles in the magazine, but to establish this blog and begin to interact in that way with all the commenting around it and everything. Blessings on that webcast that's coming up. We'll be tuning in to see how that goes and to learn more about all the exciting things going on a heart-to-heart blog.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks
for joining us, Anne and Wendy. Really appreciate you taking the time and look forward to the webcast and meeting you in person.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you, Wendy.
Nice to meet you, too.
We'll see you in a few weeks.
Glad we could make these digital handshakes and hugs.
Right, exactly. That's right.
Thanks, you guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Well, you guys can tune into that webcast at wells.net/forwardinchrist or find the blog at forwardinchrist.net. So we'll have those links in the show notes.
Neat conversation. Two godly ladies looking to do the best they can with God's help, of course, in technology. So kind of right up our alley to have that conversation. And boy, I'm looking forward to meeting them and having that live webcast. So tune in. Sally, where are we going next here? We have a ministry resource apparently this week.
We do. Just a quick follow-up that we'll have a link in the show notes to a recent Gallup poll. I actually mentioned this last week. It was a poll about religious service attendance. And the highest states, those states with the highest percentage of people that attend religious services regularly were Utah, number one, thinking of the Mormons there, and then the Deep South, including Mississippi in second place. Yay, Mississippi. Arkansas, Louisiana, and Alabama. And then it kind of disseminates out from there to more of the southern states. And when you get up here to the Midwest, it's average attendance that we have in the Midwest. The West Coast is below average, and the Far East Coast is extremely low attendance.
Northeast, so,
yeah, Northeast, I should say. That's correct. So, you know, what kind of implications does that have to us? Well, certainly the fields are ripe, and there's lots of opportunity no matter where you are. Even the states that reported high attendance were only at like 50%. So there's certainly room to share the good news right here in our own backyard.
Even if in state number one, there's a lot of mission work to do within the state of Utah. So, thanks for sharing that. News in tech. Some kind of sad news for sci-fi fans.
Yeah, our friend Leonard Nimoy passed away this week, and I found an article on CNN about Star Trek technology that we use today, and it's really interesting, all the things, the innovations that are part of our everyday life, like flip phones. The inventor of flip phones actually modeled them after Captain Kirk's gold flip communicator that he used in the original Star Trek series. Things like automatic doors that open as we approach them, universal translation. So we have apps now that'll translate for us on the fly if you're speaking with someone with a different language or whatever. View screens. So we're making use of that right now with video conferencing. They could always, you know, have someone come up on the screen. They use tricorders to measure vital signs and things like that. And there's actually little gadgets that'll do that very quickly and easily in the medical profession. Transparent aluminum, apparently. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm off by one. The computer and speaking to the computer and the fact that we talk to Siri regularly to tell it what to do, the voice commands. And then the transparent aluminum, apparently there really is an invention like that, a transparent aluminum that was mentioned in one of the movies. They talk about Dr. McCoy always not using a needle to give shots, but just spraying the medicine through the skin. And there's actually medical devices that do that as well. Not cheap, it says, but not painful like a needle either. They talk about crew location and that they would always be searching the planet for those red-shirted guys that they beam down there. And we have GPS technology now that allows us to get a location on different things. And certainly space travel has come a long way since they envisioned it in the late 60s in Star Trek, and the fact that we have, you know, these Virgin Galactic flights that are planning to go into outer space. I think there's a crew preparing for going to live on Mars and such things. So a little bit of Star Trek has become reality. And so
quite a bit,
their vision, you know, guided a little bit of that development.
Yeah.
Pretty cool stuff.
So, Star Trek fan or no, Sally?
Yeah, we're more Trekkies than Star Wars at our house. What about you guys?
I can't speak for the rest of my clan, but I definitely was a Star Trek fan. That was kind of right in my sweet spot. I was in the late 60s. I was kind of at that age where that was really cool, 7 or 8, and I've always enjoyed it. I enjoyed the movies as well, and I enjoy Star Wars and that kind of, not the new Star Trek renditions, however.
Oh, my boys have watched it all.
Yeah.
All the new ones, all the old ones, everything. So, yeah. We actually had to watch some this week when we read about
Laverne. Good for you.
Passing away, so.
Is it on Netflix?
We actually have all the movies.
You got them on DVD.
So, yeah, we don't even need Netflix for that.
So. You can watch it anytime you want.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Is your pick of the week anything that we would have found on Star Trek episode, Sally?
Well, I'm sure they would have gotten around to it eventually because they have to entertain their children out in space as well.
Right.
And my pick of the week is an announcement from Google about a new app they've developed. It's available in both the Google Play and the iOS App Store, and it's YouTube for Kids. And what they've done is just kind of skinnied down YouTube. I've had a curated access to it, so you're not seeing all that's out on YouTube, but kid-friendly stuff. They call it their first product that they've developed from the ground up with children in mind. You know, maybe there have been other things where they've kind of scaled back or whatever, but this one, the design, very simple icons, very nice interaction. What I liked about the announcement is it says the parents have good controls here in that they can, there's timers built in, so you can set a timer and it'll turn off after a period of time and no longer give the kids access. There's sound controls where the parents can control and not allow the children to control the sound volume. And you can even turn off the search capabilities. So the home screen of the app can be some videos that you've selected for your kids and then not allow them to search and get to other things. So lots of controls built in to the YouTube Kids app. So I'd be curious if any parents or maybe teachers out there begin to use the YouTube Kids app with your little tykes. Maybe you could give us a review for the Wells Tech listener review section. We'd love to hear from you.
Apparently, and I don't have kids this age at this point, but apparently YouTube is vying for time, or maybe TV is vying for time with YouTube these days, where kids are kind of tuning into YouTube as their media channel of choice. I don't know if your kids are like that, Sally, but that's kind of an amazing thing where somebody will just sit down with an iPad or their computer and say, well, I'm going to watch YouTube. And this is a great app to do that for kids.
Yeah, my kids are definitely tuned into YouTube. And there's one for gamers as well. I can't remember the name of it, but it has like game world series of online gaming kind of video streaming and stuff. And they watch that a lot too. Twitch maybe,
yeah,
or something like that.
Twitch, exactly. Yep, yeah. I was just going to say Twitch. So, Sally, I got to call you out on this one. I believe that this app used to be in our news and tech section, and it kind of got dragged into your pick of the week.
Thanks,
true
Martin.
True or false?
True or false. We had more breaking news come up, and I had to switch to Leonard Nimoy. So I
that's fine, because that's perfect. I'm just giving you a hard time.
Yeah, you're good at that.
I know. That's my job. See, I don't have anything other to do with this podcast other than show up and give you a hard time. So that's what I try to do that the best I can. So,
A plus.
You have every right to do, give me as hard a time as you want on any item on any show. So please take advantage. My pick of the week is, actually I should probably try and figure out how to share my screen, is a little laptop that I came across. I don't know where I found out about this, but it's from pink. HP. Well, there's pink and blue. I got the blue one. This is from HP, and it is a kind of a bare bones laptop, but nicely made. So the price on this is between $200 and $300, depending on which one you pick. So the low end, the two, I think it's $219 or something like that, does not have a touch screen. For like $260 or $265, maybe you can get it even a little bit lower, has a touch screen. Keyboard is really nice. The trackpad is nice. The durability, it's made of a kind of a soft plastic. You know, it feels good in the hand. It's lightweight. It doesn't have a lot of memory, I believe. I don't know if it says on here. I believe it's 32 gig, maybe even less. But it's really kind of meant to be a kind of a Chromebook competitor, but it runs a full version of Windows. The screen resolution is nice. It's got a couple of three USB ports, an HDMI port, no fan, so it's running a processor. It does not require a fan. Gets about 8 hours of battery life, a dual core processor. Just a kind of a sweet deal. If you are looking for maybe a one-to-one kind of scenario, the reason that we bought them at the Senate office was for our conference rooms. So our four conference rooms with monitors in them, with LCD panels rather than projectors, we bought them in because we can now wirelessly send our image and audio to the screens through what's called a Microsoft Wireless Display Adapter, and these little guys support that. So these are 13-inch screens. Touch, you know, the ones we got are touch screens, a little bit more expensive. One of the nice things about these is it includes a free year of Office 365, which is, you know, I forget what that's running now, but you know, that's close to like a $75, $80, $100 value right there. And then all the storage that comes with that, 1 terabyte of OneDrive storage, etc. Sound is not bad at all. You get some apps there. It has Wi-Fi. It does not have a Ethernet jack, which a lot of laptops don't have today. But in general, this is a quality machine, at least that's my impression so far. And for the money, it's kind of the same price as a Chromebook, and it has an SSD drive, so it loads up just as fast as a Chromebook does. So if you're not into the kind of the Chromebook thing, if you want to kind of go with Windows, which you can install Office on, of course, and any other Windows application, this might be worth considering. I think it's still at that price point, and just a great value that I think some people may want to take advantage of. So,
one comment, you mentioned it doesn't have an Ethernet port, and obviously you probably can use a dongle or something.
Yes.
To plug an Ethernet in. But isn't that interesting that laptops now don't even bother. Like, we're just going Wi-Fi. We're just going to move away from having wired connections anywhere.
Yep.
I would guess in the future.
I think, so. Yeah, kind of Apple started that where they didn't make things with disk drives or Wi-Fi, you know, Ethernet jacks, those kinds of things. Kind of a minimalistic design. So, yep, I think so. I don't know if I mentioned the actual name of the laptop. It's the HP Stream 13. 13-inch. So you can get it on Amazon. We'll have a link in the show notes. And I think you can get it in blue or pink.
Hot pink, not hot, just pink.
Yep, so the boys pink. Can get the blue ones, the girls can get the hot pink ones. So.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right, so let's move along to the next segment of our show. And as I scroll through our mind map, that would be Wells Insider. A couple things at Martin Luther College coming up.
Well, yeah, actually, we're in the midst of choir tour. The college choir is out on the road. They left last Friday morning, and they're making their way through Michigan. As of today, they're in Cincinnati, Ohio, and then headed to Illinois, and finally several stops in Wisconsin. So we'll have a link in the show notes to the choir tour page so you can see where they will be singing. And then we'll also have a link to the MLC Facebook page because they make it a lot of fun. We sent a whole ton of people along who are just capturing choir tour at its finest. And they've got pictures, they've got videos from the bus, they've got just all kinds of fun that they're having along the way with choir tour. So if you aren't a fan or follow the MLC Facebook page, here's a great opportunity to get in the know with what's going on at MLC currently with what's going on in choir tour. So
I think my nephew, who's a former Wells Tech interview, is on that trip. So I'm sure he has something. Jonathan Witte has something to do with some of those videos, I'm sure.
I've seen a few pictures of him come up.
I bet. Okay. And nice looking web page there. I wonder who made that one there.
I can't imagine who works on that MLC website. Don't
nice
even
job.
Know.
Nice job. need to know, Sally, something we need to know?
We have a conference coming up this summer. It's Wells Tech Conference 2015, July 9th through 11th at Country Springs Hotel and Conference Center. And what you need to know, folks, for the teachers in the audience, is that we will be handing out certificates for clock hours. So if you would like some confirmation that you attended and learned during the Wells Tech Conference, if you're there for 2 days, it's 13 and a half hours. If you take the two pre-conference workshops, it's 21 hours total. So lots of opportunity there to get some clock hours, and we'll have the certificates ready to hand you at the end of the event. So make sure you grab those if you're a teacher in the community.
Nice. Thank you. Sally, community feedback. Some familiar faces here.
Heard from some of the best of the best. Really excited to share from Jason Schmidt. Choice Eliminator. It's a Google Forms plugin that allows you to set caps on different options that you're surveying about. So perhaps you can only take 30 people in one section and you need to even out the sections for an event that you have coming up. It'll stop allowing submissions once you hit a certain cap. So very powerful tool to add to the forms arsenal there at Google Forms. Thanks, Jason, for sharing that. Also from Gail Potratz, our other semi-regular classroom technology correspondent, Gail from Emmanuel in New London, Wisconsin, shared Printer Pro, which is currently free in the iOS App Store. So it will allow you to print via your wireless network to any printer on the network. And it's currently, it's usually a $6.99 value. So App of the Week, Apple thinks it's worthy of everybody enjoying the Printer Pro goodness, so go grab it while it's free. I'm not sure how long that will last. I had a message from my friend Jason Petoskey, and actually I had a couple of messages from him. One of them was that he signed up for the Wells Tech Conference, so looking forward to meeting Jason in person. That'll be one of the fun benefits of being at the conference, is that our virtual community is going to get together. But Jason specifically wrote and asked about copyright questions, and I was able to refer him over to our Wells Tech Wiki, where we have a very extensive page on copyright, and in particular some of the things that we've linked to from the Copyright Solver website, where they have a lot of different information out there regarding copyright. He was curious about posting videos of his choir online, and I said, go check out the information we have here, and you know, read carefully, because you want to make sure you're legal when you're doing that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Thanks for the question.
And finally, a few things from Pastor Rob Gunther. One was that he got this book, The Miracle Morning. This was after a little motivational speech by my friend Martin Spriggs. He was up in Alaska for
not sure how motivational it was. It was a speech, but yeah.
He apparently was motivated. And one of the things he wrote about was that he wanted to make use of that early morning hour, that he was kind of adding to his day a time. And this book kind of walked him through perhaps how to structure that hour. Now, with all disclaimers that we're not in control of the theology that's included in the book, but the practices, the functionality that's there, seems like it's a good read for that purpose. So Rob wrote to us, and he kind of detailed, he's breaking down that extra hour, he's getting up early, into six different 10-minute sessions. He's got time for Bible reading, for prayer, for exercise and stretching, for journaling, for planning, and then ends it with some other reading, which, you know, how else better to end your time with even more reading if you enjoy reading like Rob does, I'm sure. So he's trying to keep it simple but be pretty disciplined with the approach. And my mind map just kind of crashed. But there's a note there, Martin, that says do the math. Maybe if you could click on that and share the math that Rob shared.
But I did a little math and figured one extra hour per day adds up to 365 extra hours every year. Okay, that was easy math. But that's 15 extra days of getting things done, or two more weeks of doing more good. Or if I look at just per line, 10 minutes per day in any area adds up to 3,650 minutes a year, or another 60 hours, 2.5 days, focused on one area of personal growth. 60 hours of reading is a lot of books for me. 60 hours of exercise may go a long way in losing some of these stubborn pounds. 60 hours of prayer certainly won't hurt my spiritual life, and 60 hours of Bible reading will serve me spiritually, personally, and even professionally. And all I have to do is give up 1 hour of sleep per day. Seems like a great trade-off.
So there you go. He did the math. And so maybe you guys want to consider taking advantage of an extra hour in your morning. I know that's something that, Matt Perman recommends in his book, What's Best Next? And it could make a difference in your day to start it off with some extra time in your Bible and prayer and journaling and that kind of thing.
Absolutely. He also, I don't know if you're back in the map, Sally, but he also talked about you've got it up on the screen. Go ahead.
A tool called Tile. Apparently, Tile is a way to help you hold on to things that are valuable to you. So if you are seeing my screen, then you're seeing it's a small little square kind of dongle maybe that you would attach to something, and then it becomes trackable.
It's so, about half the size of a credit card is, I guess, how I'd estimate it.
Tuck it away in your wallet, attach it to your keychain, maybe put it on the TV remote control, anything that you feel you couldn't live without. They show an example of tucking one in your luggage, maybe when you're going to send it off on an airplane trip or something like that. It helps you to find it quickly. And it works, interestingly, I think using Bluetooth, Martin. So if you're in the vicinity, the Bluetooth will pick it up. But one of the things that they have you do is register your Tiles, and then supposedly the community of Tile users could help you find it as well, because their Bluetooth would pick it up and identify who it belonged to, and you would get notification in that way. So
yeah, not foolproof, but kind of cool. And if you're within probably 30 feet of your item, Bluetooth will take over and kind of send you in the right direction. So as you get closer to the item, the signal gets stronger. So kind of cool. You can have up to 7 or 8 of these, I want to say.
Yeah.
And if you got them in volume, you can get them for about $15. One of the downsides is they only last a year, so you got to rebuy them. But if you're constantly losing your keys or whatever, this might be a great addition.
Sounds like some Star Trek technology to me.
Yeah, it must have been on one of those episodes.
That's going to do it for community feedback for this week, Martin.
Okay. Next week, we mentioned the book already, What's Best Next by Matt Perman, part 6. That is the E in DARE for execute, meaning get stuff done.
Well, you actually get to work this time, yep.
That's right. So we're going to take all that knowledge and planning and et cetera, the D and the A and the R, and execute on getting stuff done. It's actually a very good section, so you're going to want to tune in next week when we review those chapters that are in that part 6. Okay.
We have some videos. One thing that we'll link to in the show notes is quick start videos for WordPress, and this is from the WordPress.com people. But unfortunately, they don't put them in a format that we can embed on our show notes, so we found alternatives over on YouTube, and we'll embed an introductory video that introduces you to WordPress.
And it's a whole series, actually. There's a whole playlist there. Yep. So, good stuff.
That'll get you started one way or another. A couple of different options there, and we'll have those on our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net.
Yep. Sally, why don't you tell everybody how they can contribute to the show?
I'd love to. They can go over to our website and find all kinds of links for contributing to the show. We have a Facebook page. We have, and I'm struggling to share my screen, we have a presence on Google+. As well as on Pinterest and Digo and Twitter. And so you can find us a lot of ways socially, and I just can't share my screen to show it to you. But
I think your computer says we've gone on long enough.
That's right. So the key to the deal is to go to wellstech.wells.net. You'll find it all there, folks.
Yeah, we're not hard to find. We're out there. So, and we would love your feedback. That's one thing that really we enjoy doing, and we learn a lot through that process. So help us out. Sally, that's it for us, episode 382. We'll be back next week for 383. Remember, Tuesday afternoons at 4 p.m. Central. You can always join us live, ask real-time questions. We'd love to get those as well. Or keep watching us in your favorite pod-catching application, iTunes or otherwise. You can always go to wellstech.wells.net and just hit the play button and listen or watch.
That's all right.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.